Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty P. Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Devoted to Him Ministries is committed to winning the lost and building up the body of Christ through broadcasting the Word of God with fire, faith, and power, teaching all nations and lifting up the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's message is designed to help you grow in every area of your being. Through the devoted lifestyle, we can all win. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James 5:16. And now, Devoted to Him Ministries founder, Misty P. Long.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. It is so exciting to have another opportunity before the throne of God to share His goodness, to share His grace, and to share His mercy. I am so glad you're on these airwaves. I am so glad that you're going to be listening to us in the archive version of this. And we are pre-recording an episode, but once I pre-record it, then I broadcast the pre-recorded program live, and I'm so glad about those who will be listening live when I broadcast it, and I'm also excited about those once the live version of this pre-broadcast has been shared, then it's going to go into the archive, and I'm praising God, hallelujah, and excited about those who are going to go to the archives to listen to this show over and over again in the weeks and days and months and even years ahead, because I don't delete anything, glory to God. It will be there till Jesus comes. If I have anything to say about it, I'm not going to remove it. Hallelujah. So I'm just excited about everyone, and I'm excited about this word. Can't wait to share tonight. The topic is, ye must be born again. Glory to God. You must be born again. So we thank God for you out there in Radio Land, and we're going to just get right to the core, right to where we want to start tonight, because I know that we have a group that are word lovers, and I know you want to cut through the chase and get right to the word, and I'm right there with you. Before we do that, though, we want to give our co-host, Patricia Jones, a chance to say hello to everybody.
I just want to say hello tonight, and we've got a really good show for you tonight, and sharing our testimonies and just staying on track with the Lord. But we got some awesome things to share tonight. I'm just honored to be here.
Amen, amen. We thank God. I tell you, there's a lot of people living the day. I don't know, a lot, at least a couple I wouldn't mind having lunch with, or, you know, having an outing with, or having a good conversation with. But I tell you, there's no greater honor in life than having a conversation with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No greater honor than spending some time, we call it prayer, in communication with God. I tell you, that's the greatest honor. I believe I was born to pray. I believe I was born to talk with my Heavenly Father, to talk with my Savior, and to talk with the Holy Ghost. So I thank God that He is the greatest being in the universe. So, you know, let's look at this topic tonight. Ye must be born again. And I tell you, we got the best news you have ever heard on this broadcast tonight. And in the coming weeks, we're going to really be dichotomizing this whole subject of being born again. And, you know, if you live in the United States, you're probably saying, well, you know, Misty, aren't you beating the horse? Aren't you beating the dead horse? I mean, if any country in the world has been saturated with this point, you must be born again, it will be the United States of America. So I really, Sister Long, I really don't know what tree you're barking up. Well, I want to tell you that we can never over-discuss this subject, that you must be born again. And I believe that God's going to give us some insights on this very vital topic as we share on this talk show and on this radio broadcast about the depths and the details and the personal experience that we have had with the biblical mandate to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So stay tuned. Get your smartphone out. Get your notebook out, your journal. Get your ink pen out. Call somebody. Get ready because you're about to get some information hot off the heavenly wire, and you don't want to miss one moment of this conversation because we're going to be sharing some of the most important information you'll ever hear. So this is basically a perspective that we're going to be coming from tonight, and I want you to write this down. Number one, eternal life is a gift. Number two, it is not earned or deserved. Number three, humans are sinners. Humans cannot save themselves. Number five, God is merciful. And number six, faith is the key that opens the door to heaven. Glory to God. So our first point tonight is that eternal life is a free gift. A free gift that we don't earn and a free gift that we don't deserve. And right in the book of Romans, Paul wrote, he wrote in Romans the second chapter, that we are saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is something that God in his infinite wisdom is something that he chose for us. When we really were not deserving, we were on our way to hell in a hurry as an entire human race, to spend all eternity with the devil and his demons. And God decided before he ever created this earth, he knew we were going to mess up. And he made a decision. He made a decision that he wanted us to have the opportunity to have eternal life. In the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse, the Apostle John wrote, "I write these things to you, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So the Bible tells us these six things we just pointed out. Eternal life is a free gift. Romans 6:23 says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. We didn't make it up. Devoted to Him Global Ministries did not make this up. It's in the Bible. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6. And heaven is a gift. And just like any other genuine gift, it is not earned and it is not deserved. So that means that no amount of personal effort, good works, or religious deeds can earn a place in heaven for you. You know, if you want to go to Jamaica, and I don't care if you pick American Airlines, Dutch Airlines, you know, Southwestern Airlines, I don't care, whatever airline you choose, in order to earn a seat on that plane, you got to first go by way of purchasing a ticket. But glory to God, to get to heaven, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to purchase, pay any money. In fact, you cannot pay money. You can do nothing to have the right to heaven. You can do nothing to earn yourself a place in heaven. It's a free gift. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So you say to yourself, well, why is it that no one can earn his way to heaven? That seems like that would be reasonable. You know, wouldn't that be fair? Those that did what you had to do to earn it would make it, and those who didn't do whatever was required to do wouldn't make it. According to this world's standards and bylaws, that would make sense. But you got to understand, we're not talking about this world's principles. We're talking about heavenly principles. We're talking about God's rules here, okay? And God decided that nobody could earn it, no matter what they did. And so our first point tonight, or one of our first points, is man is a sinner. So in order to be born again, remember the subject is you must be born again. Okay, so why do you have to be born again? Well, the reason why you have to be born again is because every person born into this world is born a sinner. Job said, I'm born a few days and full of trouble. Everybody. I don't care how cute. I don't care how chubby your cheeks are. I don't care how, you know, babies, you don't have fresh breath. You know, they don't even have odor yet. You know, their bowels and things have not developed to the point that they have bad breath. So, baby, you know, just baby's breath is just fresh as the pure air. And they're just so cute, and they're just so precious, and they're just so lovely. But spiritually, according to God's truth in his word, everyone is born a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I know there could be someone listening tonight saying, well, I just don't think that's true. I just don't think that little bitty, precious, little innocent baby is a sinner. I don't believe a toddler is a sinner. I don't believe a preschool child is a sinner. I don't believe an elementary school child is a sinner. You can't even really work your way into sin until you are an adult. Well, that's not scriptural. Because, see, sin includes much more than murder or robbery or rape. In fact, it's anything we think, say, do, or don't do that does not please God. So that includes everybody, because we all know babies are cute as they can be. And they are innocent to a great extent. But we also know that babies are very selfish. Me, I dare for my bottle, ask for my diaper, ask for me to eat. I'm hungry, wah. Me, I'm little and I'm weak and I'm helpless and I'm dependent on people because I'm a newborn baby and everybody needs to focus on me and jump when I say jump and run when I say run and be who I need them to be when I need them to be it. Selfish. And then once they become a toddler, and they have a little birthday party, and little cousins come over, and they've been given toys that they know belong to them that they've been playing with on their own, and they know these were gifts given to them, and they've been playing with them all alone, and then other children come over that are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and all of a sudden these children want to play with those toys too. Okay, you tell me what the average 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old is going to do. Most of the time, they do not want to share initially. Now, after some discipline, they may get better. But normally, they do not want to share. Selfish before they can even talk. Selfishness starts coming out of their hearts. Okay? And same thing with adults. And adults and high school kids and middle school kids have the same things in their hearts. And so jealousy, selfishness, self-centeredness, me, I. Sin includes much more than breaking the Ten Commandments. It's things that go on in our hearts and in our minds that are not pleasing to God. Or a child that sits by and watches a bully beat up other kids on the bus stop or on the playground. And even though they themselves are not the bully, they sit there and watch and don't do anything about it. They don't report it to adults who are in charge. They don't go to the bully and say, well, you shouldn't be doing this. They don't go and try to comfort the person that was bullied. They just don't do anything. Well, that right there is a sin of commission. You've seen something wrong going on. You've seen something sinful going on. You've seen someone being hurt and punished unnecessarily, and you just stay silent and don't do anything about it. Well, that's called what we call a sin of omission, something you should have did that you didn't do. You don't even try to even pray for the person. You can at least pray for somebody getting beat up for no reason. And you don't even pray about it. You've been taught in Sunday school to pray. So therefore, as humans, we're prone to sin. We fall into sin and don't even mean to fall into sin. Even adults can be innocent and can be sincerely wrong. And you don't always mean to sin, but you sin anyway. So that's why we have to understand that God said in his word that humans are sinners and humans cannot save themselves. If you wanted to save yourself by doing good deeds all the time, do you know how good you'd have to be? Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So with that high of a standard, nobody can save themselves, not anybody. So, hey, Patricia, why don't you jump in here? And I know you have quite a few things to say about this tonight, about the fact that we're sinners in and of ourselves without Christ, and we're born that way. We're all in trouble from birth. Spiritually, we're in trouble. trouble, until we meet the Savior. So why don't you take it from here and explain your understanding of how we all start out and then what needs to be done to get us straightened out and what your own experience has been along those lines.
Well, I just want to share that, of course, we all have to accept Christ. You know, when we come into the world, we in order to be born again and become Christians, we have to ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, and we have to repent of our sins, and then we have Jesus come into our lives. So, you know, in order to become a Christian, be a child of God, we have to pray and go through that. So, I'll just share some of my, some of my testimony for my Christianity. Because I was brought up in a denominational church, and I went to Sunday school, went to church, and of course you pray before your meals, and you pray when you go to bed, and the regular things that you do in a Christian church. And and through all that, I didn't really have a personal relationship with Christ. And then once I got older, and I got a job in an office, and I met some friends there, and they were Christians, and they had a personal relationship with Christ. And then, I began to see the difference in what their lives and how they were living, and that it was personal with the Lord. So, I think, when I was in this office, I think they were praying. I'm sure they were praying for me, because it was like, I don't know, it's about 3 or 4 of them there in the office, and I'm sure they were praying. And my life was like, before I accepted Christ, it was like several events took place, okay? And I'll just begin to share some of them with you. I eventually accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord when I was 22, and, I thank God that I did. And then at that time, I knew that I was a Christian. I knew I would have when I died, and I knew I was on track with the Lord. So, I remember when I was still working in this office, and it was, I think one of the events that happened that led me to salvation, I was on an interstate. I was in Kentucky, and my car had, I began to have car trouble that day, and the car went completely dead, and there I was just sitting on the side of the road. And so this gentleman came by, and he said, do you need help? I said, yes, I need help. And he said, I was going to have the car towed. And he says, we can get it towed. And I took it where I normally take it. And so we got it towed. He helped me with that. And there's two other guys with him. And then, when we got to the place, I got the car in and everything. And he paid for it all. And then he told me that he was assistant pastor at one of the churches there in town. And I recognized the church he was talking about. And then the other guys with him, they said, the only way you can repay this guy back is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And then they left. And then I got my car out and I went home. And I didn't really think a whole lot about it after that. And I think he called the house a couple of times. My sister and I was living together. And I never returned the calls. I never really thought much more about it after that. Okay, so then, along that same period of time, my car ran out of gas on the same interstate, and I was sitting there. And this guy comes over, and he said, what's your problem? I said, I'm out of gas. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a ride, go get some gas, and we'll come back. So I said, okay, seemed pretty friendly. When I got in the car, he began to share with me his testimony, how he had become born again, how he now works in a church, and he drives a church bus. And he tells me, he said, he says, us meeting like that, he said, this is not a coincidence. He said, you know that, don't you? And I said, yes. Okay. Got the gas, and I'm on my way. Okay, so I'd say several months down the road, the same thing happened again. Okay, so I'm now working in an office. I'm a clerk. I wanted to make a career change to go into nursing. So I'm at an appointment with like a job training center downtown, and downtown Kentucky. So I had the appointment, go in for the appointment. And there's this job counselor gentleman. Tells me to come in. He has this big black Bible sitting on his desk and the 4 spiritual laws, Well, I came here to talk about a job, training. Okay, so, we did talk about that. And then he began to start sharing the gospel with me about repentance, by asking Jesus Christ into your life and about having eternal life. And so he gave me the little booklet to read, and he says, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And I also told him, I said, you know, my car is parked out there. I think I'm in the wrong parking lot. I told him that. I said, I don't even think I can even get the car out because it's gated in. And you may need a code to get out. I don't know. He said, don't worry about that. We'll take care of it later. He said, I'll help you get your car out. All right. So he talked to me. Then he began to talk more about the gospel. And he said, well, would you like to say the prayer of salvation? And I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and say this prayer to get out of here and get my car. He's going to help me with the car. So I'm just going to say whatever. I'm just going to say what he wants me to say so I can get out of here because I need the help. So I repeated after him. I said the prayer. I didn't mean more meant that prayer than the man on the moon. So I said it, got out of his office, and then went to get my car. And, you know, the gate opened right up without anything. My car just drove my car right out. He says, well, you know, this is starting already. He says, things happened for you already. Well, anyway, so it came to the point where I actually did accept Christ for real. I was coming home from, I was taking a night class, and I was coming home from this night class, and I had this professor, and I had written a paper, and he was just picking it all together, you know. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. He had all stuff written on there, what I need to do. I said, wow, yeah. It was a rough class. He was a rough professor. So I went out to my car, and I thought, you know, Lord, I need help here, you know. And I thought, well, I guess I better say the prayer of salvation and mean it this time because I need help. I got to get out of this class. I got to pass. So I'm torn up. I'm discouraged. I'm riding home in the car. And I also live from where the university was. I was like 25 miles from the university. I had no gas in the car, but I had to ride home. So I said, Lord, if I didn't mean that, I said, if you didn't hear that prayer I prayed when I was in that office with that job counselor, I said, I'm going to pray it again. And this time I mean it. I said, I mean it this time. And I want you to hear it this time. If you didn't accept it then, I said, I want you to take it now because this is a true one. And I prayed the prayer of salvation. I said, Lord, I want you to forgive me of all my sins. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to live for him. And I said it, and it was a true one. And that car, I'm telling you, that car drove 25 miles on E. And I knew he was in my life. There was no doubt. And the scripture I wanted to share with you to sum all that up is Matthew 10:37-38, where it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord, of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. So that was what was happening. Labors was coming out into the harvest. And I got three labors back to back to back. And I'm sure the Christians in the office of work were praying. So the saints were praying, and the harvest and the labors were coming. So that scripture was in, it was in operation, definitely.
Mm.
So that's the beginning of my testimony.
Mm, wow, that is powerful.
What accepting Christ, yeah. Yeah, so when the saints are praying, it is working, believe me. When a saint prays for you to get saved, that word goes out into the harvest, and his laborers begin to move. And because they were moving on my, they definitely begin to move.
I mean, that is awesome. And it was just a real time of heightened spiritual activity in your life. You know, the season had come for you to be born
again.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And see, when I told the job counselor, I told him about the other two times that it happened with the guy, the bus driver, and the assistant pastor. I told him about that. I said, you know, And he tells me, he says, well, God wants you. And then he began to continue sharing about the four spiritual laws. Yeah. So anyway.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really how it works. And that is why prayer is such an, you know, so important. It's such an important component of evangelism and of witnessing. Because you just don't want to be out there just on, I mean, your testimony is great and the scriptures that you know are great. And, you know, we've shared, you know, even both tonight. But except the angels have gone before you, except God has gone before you and has plowed up the fallow ground of people's hearts and prepared them to respond to him, you're going to be spinning your wheels. And like you said, you can get anybody to quote the prayer and quote a scripture back to you or quote a prayer from the neck up, you know, coming from their heart, coming from their belly. You remember Jesus said in John 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, you know, and out of your heart, you know, the issues of life come out of your heart. You know, well, anybody can just quote something like a robot, and it don't mean anything because you're going to give them some candy later. Or you're going to give them a treat. You know, sure, they can dance and sing and shout and be a puppet all day long. But like you said, for people to really be ready to have a real experience, come on now, a real transformation, to truly become a new creation, to become a new creation, a new spiritual being, a new species of being they've never been before, for people to come into a situation where their spirit was dead, and now their spirit is alive to God and to his word and to the people of God and to other born-again people. Come on now. Because there is a language called faith that only people of faith understand and communicate with each other. And until you're born again, you don't understand that language. You don't understand faith. You don't understand believing God. It's just words to you. But once you've been born again, then your spirit is alive to heaven, to God, to the miraculous, to angels, to other born-again people whose spirit are alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And so that's then good. You're able to experience and receive the things of God like salvation. There's no other place on the planet where you can get salvation except in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. No other place. I don't care how much money you have, how far you can travel, you won't find salvation anywhere else but in the kingdom of God. And Pat, who is the kingdom of God? The people of God. You just said it in your past. You have to come in contact with who? Believers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
other
way to get it. You can't hang around sinners and get salvation because it only comes from other saved people. You gotta be touched by that crowd. And the ones in that crowd that are going to be the strong, effective soul winners are those who practice prayer.
Yeah.
And again, there are people who say I've been born again, but they really don't practice meditating the word, confessing the word. They don't practice as a lifestyle praying without ceasing. But those who practice the lifestyle, who every day when they wake up say, Lord, use me today. Lord, the world is full of people that don't believe. Use me today, Lord, to be a connecting point for someone who's desperate, who's in need. You're trying to get through college. You're trying to have enough finances to even have gas to get to and from point A to point B. A lot of times, because one of our points tonight is God is a merciful God. You know, once you accept the fact, and Pat, you have to humble yourself to accept the fact that you are needy, that you are a sinner, and you are needy, that you are impoverished, you are poor. That's why Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. when you acknowledge that I am needy, that what I need I don't have, and that I'm in need of a Savior and I cannot save myself. Once you realize that, then you begin to know God as a merciful God. He will not punish you. He will forgive you. You begin to understand that God is a God of love. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The Bible tells us that God loves us. What is the most famous verse in the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, it's a promise now, whosoever will believe shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. What was the last thing Whitney Houston sung? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Mm-hmm.
Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I'm sure she learned that as a little child in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves me. And she, you know what? God loved the whole world. Let's get the truth out. He doesn't just love those who cooperate and who believe and who become born again. God loved the whole world. God loves you if you're good. God loves you if you're bad. But God's not going to save you if you're bad. He loves you, but now getting the ability to come to heaven and live in heaven once your body ceases to exist on this earth, once your spirit leaves your body, to get access to heaven, you have to receive his son. You said that, Pat. He loves you, but you're not going to live in heaven. Sin cannot live. Pat, can sin live in heaven? Can sinners live
no.
in heaven?
No.
No.
No. No.
God loves you, but you will not live in his home. He loves you, but you will not live around his throne unless you receive his son. And the reason why is God is a just God. So therefore, he must punish our sin. It says in the book of Exodus chapter 34, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul who sins is the soul who will die. So, like we said, Pat, we have trouble. Humanity has a problem. What did Andre Christ say? Jesus is the answer to the problem. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. We got a problem as the human race. We have a problem, and Jesus is the only way. We have a problem over there in the Middle East, and Jesus is the only way. We got a problem in Iran. We got a problem in Iraq. We got a problem over there with Putin and Russia. We got a problem. We got a problem right here. God loves us, and he does not want to punish us. But he is a just God, and he must punish sin. So God solved this problem for us. Hallelujah. God solved this problem, and he did it in the person of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is he? Who is this one that all the churches are talking about? Who is this one we just celebrated his death, burial, and resurrection? Who is this one who is the most famous person that ever has lived, is living, and will live throughout the entire universe? I thought about that when I had my breakfast this morning. Had I thought about that the first thing I got up, who is the most famous person ever? Who is he? Most celebrities, Pat, we really don't know him, do we? Come on, let's tell the truth. We don't know Tom Cruise. We don't know Beyonce. We don't know Frank Sinatra. We did know him. He's passed now. We don't know, these people. We don't know Nicole Kidman. We can watch all the movies in the world. We can read all the gossip magazines in the world. We don't know these people. But the most famous of them all, Jesus Christ is his name, the Christos, the anointed one and his anointing. Jesus, Christos, who is he? The Bible tells us clearly that he is infinitely God and infinitely man. He will always be God, and then he loved us, his daddy, his father, and him loved us enough that he lowered himself to come into a human body, so he will always be God, and he'll always got that human body. And he did that for us. The Bible says he's still in his body. So when we get there and we have our new body, we'll be like him. He did that for us because he didn't need to do that, Pat. He was God. He didn't need to come confine himself to fingers and toes and hips and a stomach and a neck and a head and hair. He didn't need to do that. He was God in the universe. But because they loved us, he loved us so much that now he is forever a man and forever God, all in one person, Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John chapter 1 says, verse 1 and verse 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and in parenthesis, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was God. And the Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
That's who he is. He is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Word of God. You want to say something about that, Pat?
He's definitely the Word of God. I mean, without him, of course, without Jesus, he's the way to salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh but through me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go through Jesus Christ.
Come on, we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth on this radio.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah,
it might not tickle your ears. Come on, Pat. It may not tickle your ears, huh?
That's right. You know, we just had Easter. He died on the cross for our sins. That's the whole salvation message right there. We shared before.
That's it
in a nutshell. The whole salvation message right there.
Mm-hmm. The gospel means the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel means the truth. We tell you the truth. Jesus Christ came to earth and lived a sinless life. But while on earth, what did he do? You just said it, Pat. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and then he rose from the grave to purchase. Remember we said at the beginning today, you cannot purchase your ticket to heaven. You cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. You cannot be educated enough. You cannot be pretty enough. You cannot be smart enough. You cannot be tall enough. You cannot be white enough or black enough or red enough or yellow enough. You cannot be enough of anything. You can't earn it. But I'm going to tell you who did earn it. He purchased a place. He did it for us. That's why none of us can brag and none of us can be a snob and none of us can be a big shot. Because he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He purchased a place in heaven for everybody that'll get on board. Hallelujah. For everybody got enough sense. And even if you don't have any sense, some people who don't have sense, who will get on board anyway. You don't even have to be smart. All you got to do is believe like a little child. In fact, some people so smart, they going to miss the train. They so smart, they done analyze and intellectualize and figure themselves all out of just believing like a little humble, sweet child. Don't try to figure it out. Just believe. Right now, we're presenting the gospel, and all the only response God wants is for you to believe.
Amen.
You know what you said? Well, there's women. Well, she's yelling. Well, they have southern accents. No, none of that has anything to do with the truth that you're being confronted with today. All God wants you to do is believe the truth. Don't worry about the vessel. A lot of people miss it because they don't like the vessel. The hair is too gray. Hair is too long. Hair is too short. Their beard is not shaved. They're overweight. They talk too much. I know too much about they passed and before they supposed to become a Christian. I know too much about them before they, when they was in the world. I used to sin with them. I'm not listening. Well, God is saying right now, forget the stuff that doesn't matter and listen to what's being said. The truth, the gospel truth is that a place has been purchased for you if you will accept it. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, we all like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity and sin of us all. Isaiah chapter 53:6. Jesus Christ took our sin in his body on the cross, offers you eternal life, heaven, now and forever. as a free gift. And this gift is received by allowing him to simply become your Lord. Allowing him to become your Savior. Turning all your burdens and all your troubles and all your cares over to him. Giving your whole life to him. That's all it takes. My favorite passage, Pat quoted one of her favorite passages tonight. My favorite passage is Romans 10:8-13. And I like several versions of it. I usually like the King James, the first version I learned it in, and then I like the Amplified version. And as we were preparing for the show tonight, I read a version of it that I had never read before, but wow, it's just as beautiful. And that's the Message Bible. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. If there's any passage in the Bible that clearly breaks down in a simple way all it takes to be heaven bound, all it takes to receive eternal life both now and forevermore. Because, Pat, am I right about it? If you believe tonight, you're not believing for some future eternal life. You receive eternal life right now, don't you?
Amen.
You become a citizen of heaven not when you die, right? You become a citizen of heaven when? Right now.
Right now,
you get your spot. You get your mansion. Come on now. You get your mansion right now.
Right now. Right now.
Romans 10:8. The Message version. The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us.
Yes.
This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master. Pat, why don't you repeat that with me? Jesus, come on, let's say it together. Jesus is my master.
Oh, that's good.
Jesus
Savior
is my
Lord.
Master. Come on now.
Yeah.
That's it,
yeah.
He rules me now.
He is. He's in control.
He's over me. He's my boss. He's my Lord. Embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead.
You're not doing anything.
You're simply calling out to God, crying out to God from your heart, and you may even cry some real tears, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. And with your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it out loud. You can repeat right now. God has set everything right between him and me. Repeat that. God has set everything right.
Everything right.
Amen.
God has set everything right. Between him and me.
Amen. God has said you can say it right there on your couch, in your office, in your seat at the office, wherever you live,
there
in your car, right there on the park bench. You might be washing dishes in the kitchen. You might be in the bathroom. You might be laying in your bed. Right where you're at, God has said everything right between him and me. It says in the word that we cannot receive God unless he pursues us first.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough sense to go after God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Our love for him is nothing but our response to the love he had for me before I even knew I was in this world. He was already loving me. Already watching. Oh, come on now. Already watching over me. Hoping for me, praying for me. Jesus is seated beside, right now it says Jesus is seated in heavenly places on the right hand of the Father, evermore living to intercede for us. That's the book of Hebrews. Jesus' ministry now is the ministry of prayer. That's why prayers, Pat, you said prayer is one of the greatest ministries in the kingdom of God. A lot of people think it's not special to be on the prayer team. It's not special to be a prayer warrior. You know, if you're not an evangelist, if you're not a pastor, you know, if you're not some great famous gospel singer, you got a little thing to do. Let me tell you, prayer is one of the greatest things you can do in the kingdom and family of God. In fact, you know what all those other things I just named? If those are not built and birthed and born and continued in the spirit of prayer, they're not worth anything anyway. Everything that's legitimate is birthed out of prayer. Come on now. I know I'm devoted to Him Global Ministries. I don't trust anything that has not come out of fasting and prayer. We start the year out in January praying. What is your agenda, oh God? What is your program, oh God? What is your mind, oh God? What do you want in 2015? I wouldn't dare go do a program and then ask God to bless it. As far as I'm concerned, that's a sin. Amen. Prayer is one of the pieces of the armor. The word is a piece of the armor. Truth, the gospel truth is a piece of the armor that you put on every day when you face this world. Prayer is an important piece of the warfare and the armor that you put on. God has set everything right between me and Him. It's all on God. God initiated it. God started your salvation. God initiated your salvation. God is doing your salvation right now. And God will continue your salvation and will help you walk out your salvation until you meet Him face to face. It's all on Him. And all you have to do is trust. It says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.
Amen.
The scripture, and I'm back now to verse 11 of Romans 10, the scripture reassures us that no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's actually the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help God gets help.
Hallelujah.
Praise His holy name.
Praise God.
So we just thank Him for your listening ears tonight and for your prayers. I know that there are people that pray for devoted to Him every week. I know it. I know it. And sometimes when I'm going through a hard time during the week, I know when my breakthrough comes. And I know it's not just me. I know that there are other believers who are helping me birth this baby. Come on now. Who are in the labor chamber with me in the spirit. As God gives me the ability to push as this baby is being born. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for the fellowship of believers. And I know that some of the prayer warriors listen to this broadcast. And I thank you. I can't thank you enough. I couldn't pay for the power of your prayers and the amazing things that God is able to do in my personal life and my ministry life. Because of your faith and your prayers in helping to get the gospel out through this ministry and other ministries that are faithful ministries, that are biblical, and who abide by the truth of God's word. Don't expand God's word or add to God's word, or take away from God's word, but just stick straight with the purity of God's word, the pure, unadulterated milk of the word. That's what devoted to Him is about. Pure, unadulterated milk of the word that is able to save souls.
Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Pat, before we close out, did you have any final thoughts or any prayers you wanted to pray with this beautiful group? In the spirit, I feel such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spirit. It's such a beautiful, you know, it talks in the Bible about the prayers of the saints being a good smelling aroma to God. Hallelujah. I just feel the aroma of these prayers that are going forth even now.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, the whole Christian life is a journey. It's a journey from the time you get saved to the time you end up in heaven. It's a journey. And like you say, our prayers is what brings it about. Like right now, this, you know, like we pray for ones to listen to the program, the ones that listen to it and get saved from listening to this program. You know, our prayers are going forth for them. You know, so I would encourage anyone to ask Christ into their lives and, you know, tell them that you repent of your sins. I'm sorry. Jesus come into my life and he will come in.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's really that simple. You know, we really can't add nothing to that, Pat. I mean, that's it right there in a nutshell.
Yeah. It is. Very simple.
Just get real with God and mean it. And ask him to come into your heart. And take control.
Yeah.
As that famous song say, Jesus take the wheel. Come on now. Jesus
that's
take
good.
The wheel.
That's right.
It's that simple.
That's right.
And mean it. And be sincere. That's all it takes. And you will never be the same. And like Pat said, then you begin a journey. You know, those reality shows like The Amazing Journey and all that, you have not had an amazing journey yet. I don't care where you've been or who you know. You have not had an amazing journey yet until you get real with God and say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah,
like Pat
yeah.
said, it's the best journey that you'll ever take, and it's the journey that will cause you to end up in heaven. What better journey can you take? Because I don't care how much money you got, you cannot get a jetliner or a rocket to propel you to heaven. They can take you to the moon. They're going to eventually probably take you to Saturn and Jupiter and Mars. Well, yeah, in fact, they've been to Mars. But it's not one astronaut. They lying to you if they tell you we can take you to heaven. Come on now. And I'm going to tell you, there is a heaven out there. There's a place above the stars. There's a place above the moon and a place above the planets. The Bible talks of that place. And there's not any person that can take you there. I don't care how you can get into space, the NASA space program, and I guarantee you won't be able to fly to heaven on a plane or a rocket. The only way to get there is what we've told you tonight.
That's true. That's
say,
the only
Jesus
way.
Jesus, take the wheel. And one day you'll be in what they call the. I'm have to teach on the three heavens. One of these times we'll have to teach on the three heavens. But the first heaven, the second heaven, but the third heaven, you cannot get that. It's the heavens. That's God's home. You can't get there without this gospel message. Come on now. That's the only way. We have to get the truth out tonight. You say, Jesus, take the wheel, and the third heaven becomes your home. Hallelujah. The astronauts wish they could go there. Come on now, with their PhD in physics, in rocket science, smartest people on the planet, they can't get you to the third heaven. Jesus is the only astronaut. Come on now, Jesus is the only astronaut that can get you to the third heaven. And it's through belief on his name, belief in his message, and belief in who he is and what he has done. That's it. So we...
Yeah.
And Sister Patricia, we thank you for your transparency tonight, for you being willing to open up and share your testimony. And you know, you're right. You told me before the broadcast that I was in for a treat. And that
yes.
as you begin to unravel your testimony over the coming days and months, that I was going to hear some things. And I've been knowing you for quite a while now, almost a decade. And you've talked about parts and pieces of your testimony, you know, throughout the time that I've known you and worked with you in the kingdom of God. And I just, you know, I even told you, I said, well, I doubt, you know, I really doubt the same thing I haven't heard. Well, actually, Pat, you were right. So I'm kind of interested to hear chapter two. We're going to be like, wow, I didn't really know that
detail. Yeah,
so, but I thank you for being real. Because, see, some people won't really tell the whole testimony. Come on now. So I thank you for opening up your life like this in a very intimate and personal way, starting from the beginning and sharing your journey in Christ. And so I want you to know, tell somebody, because next week Sister Patricia is going to share more about her whole experience of being born again and entering into the family of God and learning how to be a disciple and walk it out on a day-by-day basis, and the interesting people she's met and the miracles she's experienced and just the wonderful life she's had as a Christian. So we'll be talking more about this whole topic where Jesus is Jesus' own words. The words of Jesus himself. If you read your old King James Bible, it's in red. You remember the word, whenever they put something in red, that was the actual words of Jesus himself, right? And he said, ye must be born again. So we thank God for you. If you receive Christ tonight, there was plenty of opportunity to do that. We want to know about it. You can come on Facebook, Misty Long, my page, or Patricia Jones on Facebook, or you can go to Devoted to Him Global Ministries on Facebook. You can come here to our website, or to Blog Talk's website, and type in Misty Long or Devoted to Him Ministries, and you can contact us there and leave us a private message, or, you know, just leave a comment, or you can go to our website. We will be glad to know that Jesus has become your Lord, and anything else you want to share, and also any prayer requests. So, hey, we thank God for you, and we're going to close out, you know, for this time, but we're really excited about the next time. Bring your notebooks, bring your notepad, bring your iPad, your smartphone, and also call and tell somebody, because we're always wanting to build an audience, always wanting to share the word, because God said his word never goes out void, but it accomplishes the purpose that he sent it, and we believe that to the last drop. So we want more people on board, more people bringing their spirits and joining their spirit of faith with our spirit of faith, and more people praying, amen, for this harvest that Patricia talked about tonight. You know, Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are a few. And we know, as we look at the signs of the times, we are truly in the last days, and truly the harvest is plentiful. And so the Lord wants more laborers sent out. Come on now. And devoted to him, we're all about getting together with other laborers and sharing our hearts together and our prayers and our faith so that Jesus, hey, I don't know about you, but I want him to come again quickly as possible. But mainly we need to be focused on is making sure that we're out there winning souls. And he that winneth souls is wise, is what the scripture says in the book of Proverbs. So we come together, as we said in January, to make sense of 2015 and to make sure that we're being wise. And we're being wise, we're winners. We're winners in general, and we're also winners of souls, and that's what we're supposed to be about. So we thank God for you. We look forward to being with you next time. Enjoy your week. Have a blessed week, an anointed week, a powerful week, a soul-winning week. And we appreciate you. Stay tuned for our final announcements, and we look forward to coming again and having another conversation about the most important person in the world, Jesus Christ. Have a good week. Good night.
You've been listening to Soaring with Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Please visit our website, devotedtohim.org, and join us on Facebook at Devoted to Him Global Ministry. Join us next time on Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence.